It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. How soon the U.S. military and its NATO allies can leave Afghanistan depends a great deal on how soon and how well they can train Afghans to handle their country's security. It's been a painfully slow process. American soldiers and even private contractors are spearheading the effort to build an Afghan army and police force because, as NPR's Tom Bowman explains, there aren't enough trainers to do the job.
A few weeks ago, hundreds of soldiers from bases in Oklahoma and Kentucky started heading over to Afghanistan. They weren't part of the so-called surge in combat troops. Instead, Defense Secretary Robert Gates signed orders for them to work as trainers, because European nations were too slow in helping out. Army Lieutenant General William Caldwell leads the training effort in Afghanistan.
We're still not getting NATO able to force generate and deploy forces in the numbers that we need. They are doing some, but not what we need. So Gates said, okay, then I'm going to give you another unit.
That was the second time this year Gates said okay to more American trainers because NATO wasn't picking up the slack. And that's annoying some members of Congress. Here's Senator Carl Levin, a Michigan Democrat who heads the Armed Services Committee, at a recent hearing.
NATO members who, for whatever reason, do not send additional combat troops or who intend to reduce their combat troop presence in the near future should at least be willing to provide trainers who operate away from the heavy fighting.
NATO is willing, to a point. They've sent about 900 trainers to Afghanistan, but the U.S. has sent more than twice that number. And American private contractors also have 2,000 trainers working with Afghan soldiers and police. Gates told reporters this week that NATO still needs to deliver on its promise to send hundreds of trainers.
There are still shortfalls, but the primary shortfall is about 750 trainers, and we're continuing to work on that.
Continuing to work on that, because NATO has a cumbersome process for deploying troops.
One challenge we had was NATO they were not as agile and able to deploy forces as a nation like the United States.
Again, General Caldwell, the top American trainer in Afghanistan.
Some nations are taking 6 to 9 to a year to be able to tell me before they can, you know, get their forces up and moving and coming here to be trainers.
That's because the alliance's military committee has to approve a troop request. Then the call goes out to the 28 member nations.
Then individual nations have to sign up to contribute to that obligation.
Retired Major General Jim Dubik worked with NATO countries on training Iraqi forces.
So this is an issue of diplomacy between the United States and other NATO nations.
And that's a tough diplomatic issue, since opposition to the war is on the rise among NATO members like Canada, Britain, and Germany. Despite all the delays, there is some good news. With the help of extra American trainers, General Caldwell reached his goal of training 134,000 Afghan soldiers 2 months early. But Caldwell says he still needs hundreds more trainers right through March 2012. That's because he's looking to open specialized schools for the Afghan troops that will one day turn them into a truly independent force.
Schools that will develop the specialty skills such as engineers, artillery, logistics, military intelligence, you know, all the specialty skills.
Caldwell says he expects reinforcements to come from NATO by year's end. If not, some officials say, the Pentagon may once again be asked to fill the gap. Tom Bowman, NPR News, Washington.
Training Afghan forces is one challenge facing the new commander in Afghanistan. General David Petraeus has been on the job for more than a month now, and he's about to launch a new offensive, this one with the media. On Sunday, he is scheduled to appear on NBC's Meet the Press, which is the first of several interviews in the next few days. General Petraeus is expected to make the case that the military's counterinsurgency strategy is showing results, but that people need to be patient.
The general made a similar argument when he was the top commander in Iraq. Back then, he noted that there's a political clock ticking in Washington, and it moves fast. Politicians want to bring the troops home. The clock in Afghanistan moves more slowly. It's the general's job to get the two clocks in sync.